Well, our thanks to Brian and the team for leading us in worship thus far in our service. And let me also take this time to wish all of the mothers a happy Mother's Day. We salute you this day and we thank God for you. And even if you are not a biological mother, we still salute you today. We thank God for you, for your example, and for your contribution in our church and in our community. We thank God for each and every one of you. Well, as we continue our sermon series, we are looking at the 40 heroes of the Old Testament. And this morning, in light of Mother's Day, we're going to be taking a look at a mother in the Bible, a prospective mother by the name of Hannah. And as we look at our Bible passage this morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to commence reading from verse number 3. And it reads like this, reading from the Message. Every year, this man went from his hometown up to Shiloh to worship and offer a sacrifice to God of the angel armies. Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served as priests of God there. When Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wife, Peninnah, and all her children. But he always gave an especially generous helping to Hannah, because he loved her so much, and because God had not given her children. But her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. Every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. And Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. Her husband, Elkanah, said, "Oh, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? And why are you so upset? Am I not of more worth to you than 10 sons? So Hannah ate. Then she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly, and entered the sanctuary. The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple in the customary seat. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. Then she made a vow. O God of the angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you, and I'll set him apart for a holy life of discipline." I'm going to now come to verse number 20, our final verse. And it reads, "Before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given birth to a son. She named him Samuel, explaining, 'I asked God for him. I asked God for him.'" Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in this day. We thank you for all of the mothers and women in our church, in our community, and around the nation and world. And we just pray that this day will be filled with joy, and this will be a real blessing to all of our mothers today. And now, as we come to this portion of our service where we desire to hear a word from you, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us right now, that you would get the glory out of our time of sharing. Bless both preacher and hearer. And when it's all said and done, I pray that we'll be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, this morning I would like to draw your attention to the sermon title that I felt led to change as recent events transpired throughout the week that took my attention, and I felt led to change my sermon title. But we're still sticking with the same Bible character, Hannah. And the sermon title this morning is entitled, Megan, Hannah, You and Me. Megan, Hannah, You and Me. Church, one of my favorite preachers that I look up to and very much inspired by, several years ago, he once quoted during one of his sermons, he quoted from a Swiss theologian and professor by the name of Karl Barth. And Karl Barth was one who originated perhaps one of the most impactful quotes that many preachers ascribe to and even utilize even today. That is, simply put, that preachers ought to preach with a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. Karl Barth suggests that the preacher should take your Bible and take your newspaper, and read both of them, but interpret newspapers from the Bible. It is therefore essential for the preacher, according to Barth, that in order for the words of Paul to become all things to all men, then one should espouse to bring the wasness of the word into the isness of now. For God's word is not an outdated book from antiquity, but the word of the Lord is relevant for all times and all generations and seasons. That the word of God, church, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And friends, to that end this morning, unless you have been hibernating under a rock this week, then you would have no doubt been privy to the ramifications of an interview that took place between members of the royal family, Meghan and Harry, on an interview with Oprah Winfrey. And church, the long-awaited interview aired on Monday in this country for a duration of nearly 2 hours that would see Meghan and Harry detail their experience of being married in the royal family. The revelations that transpired from the interview, such as Meghan's battles with mental health, suicidal thoughts, misunderstandings amongst the family unit, and even serious allegations of a family member seeking to inquire how dark baby Archie will be. And so much more was consequently hung out in the open during the nearly 2 hour interview. And church, the aftermath of Monday's interview has caused heated debates on TV and radio and across social media platforms, with the nation seemingly divided on whether the Duke and Duchess of Sussex were treated fairly or unfairly by the royal family. It's interesting, a Snap YouGov poll found that 32% believed that they were treated unfairly, while an equal proportion of 32% did not feel that they were treated unfairly. And a further poll suggests that some 48% of 18 to 24 year olds sighed with Meghan and Harry, but 55% of over 65s support the Queen. And it's amazing, friends, just how passionate and how defensive people around this nation can be when it comes to matters pertaining to the royal family. It's an emotive issue. It becomes almost personal. And it's interesting that this week I was able to see a variety of responses on social media, with some posting pictures on Facebook of Her Majesty the Queen in a bid to support the royal establishment, while some were offering support to Meghan and Harry to side with their story. And church, whatever your personal opinion is of Meghan and Harry and the royal family, what can't be denied is the issues raised this week from the interview. Topics such as mental health and suicidal thoughts, lack of support, racism and family struggles. All of these situations and toils and problems, these topics are relevant issues and they are very much prevalent in our society today. And regardless of the polarizing opinions of the nation, and ultimately the reality of the matter is this, that whatever our opinions are of the matter, here is a mother and a father that are sharing their concerns and frustrations with a system that they believe was causing much problems for their lives and their sanity. And church, I could not help but see a link from Meghan's story this week to an Old Testament shero by the name of Hannah. For here in the text, friends, we see another woman who is experiencing emotional pain. Pain of another kind. In a similar fashion, there are issues amongst Hannah's family that are causing her much pain and stress. And the Bible lets us know that Hannah's soul was deeply crushed because she was unable to have children of her own. And to make matters worse, church, she had to deal with the fact that her husband's other wife, Peninnah, is continually provoking her for the fact that she was unable to have children. She would tease her and reduce her to tears just because she was unable to give birth. And at the time of our text, it was culturally an embarrassment for women if they were unable to have children. They were viewed as being flawed and inferior to the other women who were able to give birth. And friends, year after year, whenever Hannah and the rest of the family would make their way to the temple in Shiloh, the sanctuary of God, sanctuary that should be a place of refuge for Hannah, the sanctuary that should be a place of inspiration and peace, it would ultimately become a place where she was bullied with harsh words from Peninnah. And she was bullied so much to the point that she would cry and cry. And the Bible even lets us know that she lost her appetite. And church, Hannah, at the scene of our text, is emotionally all over the place. She's struggling to eat. She's fueled with feelings of something is missing in my life. She's tired, if you will, on Mother's Day, when Peninnah and her husband are gathered around the family table with all the other children. And she's tired of seeing Peninnah's children write the Mother's Day cards with no card coming in her direction. And like Meghan and Harry, She feels enough is enough. She's tired of being bullied. She's tired of being mistreated. And she's tired of being overlooked. And friends, maybe like Hannah this morning, could it be that you are tired because you feel like something is missing in your life? Could it be that like Hannah, someone is constantly reminding you and bringing you down with unkind words, and always reminding you of what you don't have and lording it over you? And could it just be that maybe you've got to a place this morning where you're saying, you know what? I've had enough. I've had enough of being mistreated. I've had enough of being overlooked. So how do you deal with being mistreated? How do you deal with unkind words shared by a family member? With bullying at the workplace? How do we deal with tensions and misunderstandings amongst the family, like which is taking place amongst the royal family today? And what do you do if on Mother's Day, this doesn't feel like a day of celebration to you? Maybe the relationship between you and your mum is currently in a bad place. And like Hannah, what do you do if your heart is crushed because you desire something so much, but evidently what you desire and what you are praying for seems way beyond your reach? Well, the first thing I see here from Hannah's story and from our 40 Shiro this morning is, number one, you have to pull yourself together. Pull yourself together. Nathan, what do you mean you have to pull yourself together? Well, it's interesting that after Elkanah, Hannah's husband, who recognized the pain and the stress on Hannah's face, and I love what Elkanah had to say about Hannah. He says, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? And he says, why are you so upset? And then he goes on to say, am I not of more worth to you than 10 sons? In other words, Hannah, why are you so focused on what you don't have rather than focusing on what you do have in your life? You're crying over the child you don't have, but you're neglecting the blessings that you do have in your life. So Hannah, pull yourself together. And friends, that is exactly one of the schemes and the tricks of the enemy that tries to tempt us into thinking and focusing on what we don't have rather than being thankful for what we do have in our lives. And despite the fact that Peniah was a mean bully to Hannah, Hannah could still thank God for the blessings of a good husband. The Bible lets us know that Elkanah loved Hannah so much that he would always give Hannah more of the sacrificial meal. He would give Hannah even more than Peniah and his other children. So Hannah, pull yourself together. Don't allow someone else's insecurity to be your downfall. Get yourself together. Don't hide away in a state of mourning, but thank God for what you do have in your life. And I love this because as Hannah began to regain her focus and perspective, the Bible says in verse 9 that she ate and then she pulled herself together. Then after eating and pulling herself together, she then made her way to the sanctuary of God. You see, Hannah still has a burden in her heart to become a mother one day. But now she's approaching the sanctuary of God with a renewed sense of purpose. She's still brokenhearted for the fact that she doesn't have a child. But now her faith and her trust is firmly rooted in the Lord. And friends, be encouraged this morning that whatever may have you down in your life today, whatever the panias of this life are saying about you, don't allow anything or anyone else stop you from entering the sanctuary of God. For Hannah, the sanctuary was located in Shiloh. That's where the temple was. But I want to encourage you this morning, friends, that you don't have to run to this sanctuary on the high street in Sittingbourne. You don't have to run to the local church building to encounter the sanctuary of God. Because this church building, friends, is just a sanctuary. But we do know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Because wherever God is, there is sanctuary. So even in your homes, you can make your home the sanctuary. Even at work, in your cubicles, you can find the sanctuary of God. Even in your daily commutes, in your car, on the train, on the bus. Even on your sojourns on a daily basis, wherever you are, you can find the sanctuary of God. Because God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help, even in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you this morning, friends, that there is safety in God's sanctuary. There is peace in God's sanctuary. And there is hope in the sanctuary of God. No wonder why the psalmist declared in Psalm 75. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. So Hannah, pull yourself together. And in like manner, when we feel like quitting church, when we feel like we've reached the end of our tether, pull yourself together and get to the sanctuary of God. And remember, friends, the sanctuary does not have to be the church building, but wherever God is, there is sanctuary. But not only, Hannah, not only church should we pull ourselves together and get to the sanctuary of God, but secondly, we ought to pray because all things are possible with God. Pray because all things are possible with God. Hannah pulls herself together. Then she runs to the sanctuary of God in Shiloh. And then she begins to pray and make a vow to God in prayer. She says, O God of the angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, then I'll give him completely and unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline. Now, it's amazing, friends. Not only does Hannah make her request known unto God, but she's basically proposing a deal to God. She's proposing a deal by saying, if you will bless me with a son, then I will offer him back to you as a sacrifice for you to use him as you will. I will offer him back to be used of thee for a life of holy discipline. She's almost bargaining with God. Now, all of us, perhaps in some form or fashion, and at various levels, we've all had to deal with negotiations, whether it be to negotiate a contract of your employment, whether it be to negotiate the terms of purchasing a new home or a new car. We often espouse negotiation and deal making as something secular. We demarcate negotiation to business and personal endeavors. But very seldom are we comfortable with the idea of making a deal with God. And I have to admit, church, that it makes me feel uncomfortable thinking about the theology of deal making with God. It just doesn't sit right with me, to be honest. However, it's clear here through the Bible text that there is a clear indication through God's word that Hannah was willing to strike a bargain with God. And she prayed, Lord, if you will bless me with a child, then I will give him back to you. Now, I do believe that we have to exercise caution with deal-making prayers, because God will ultimately hold us accountable to the vow that we make. However, we see through Hannah's story is that her motive was pure and her motive was in the right place. She meant every word of the deal. She weren't just saying, you know what, Lord, do this for me, and I'm just going to renege and forget about the promise after you bless me with a child. But she absolutely was 100% serious about the vow that she made with God in prayer. She was willing to offer back her son to God if the Lord would indeed open her womb and bless her with a child. So friends, yes, by all means, we ought to pray, because all things are possible with God. And even in those barren areas of our lives that seem dormant, and those situations that seem impossible to overcome, the good news, friends, is that the good God that we serve, our great God, he is able. And although we are not in a position to barter with God, God is sovereign and he moves whenever he wants to move, and he answers according to how he wants to answer. However, we do see here through Hannah's prayer that if we make promises to God in prayer and our hearts are sincere and our motives and intentions are in the right place, then God may indeed answer our prayers that has an attached promise or vow to the petition. But there must be a sense of caution exercised with this. We can't just make promises to God that we have no intention of keeping. And we have to ask ourselves before we pray such prayers, will I follow through on the promises that I make to God? Because to ignore a promise and a vow made to God could prove to be disastrous for us in the long run. I mean, we see this in our everyday lives, don't we, friends? There's nothing worse when someone reneges on a promise to us. Maybe someone has made you a promise that they would do something for you. And when that person doesn't come through, it breaks your heart. It's not a nice feeling. So we have to be cautious. But the president is here. Hannah prayed and she believed in her heart that all things were possible with God. And she was willing to make the ultimate promise that if God would bless her with a son, then she would give him back to God for a life of holy discipline. Hallelujah. And the good news, friends, is she did exactly what she prayed and vowed. Not only did the Lord bless her with a son, which was called Samuel, and indeed she dedicated him back to the Lord to be used in the temple as a servant with Eli, but the Lord would in fact give her more than she asked for, because she went on to have 5 more children. To God be the glory. So church, in those moments of despair, number one, pull yourself together and get to the sanctuary of God. Remember, the sanctuary doesn't have to be a church building, but wherever God is, there is sanctuary. Number two, pray, because all things are possible with God. That even if there are some dormant and barren areas of your life, whatever it is, whatever the situation, whatever the void is, believe, church, that all things are possible with God. But third and finally this morning, we have to learn from Hannah's expectation. We have to learn from Hannah's expectation. There's a story of a young lady who every morning she would make her way to the bus stop across the road from her house in order to go to work. And every morning she would come across an elderly woman who would also be waiting for the same bus. And the elderly woman could not help but notice that the young lady would always look grim and sad. She had a sad countenance. So in an effort to cheer her up, the elderly woman said, "Cheer up! Things will get better." Morning after morning, the young lady would approach the bus stop with a sad countenance, head bowed, with what looked like the whole world on her shoulders. And here this elderly lady was in her way. Time after time, she would say, "Cheer up! Things will get better." And lo and behold, friends, to the elderly lady's surprise, the next morning, here came the young lady, cheerfully walking to the bus stop with a smile across her face, in what looked like a complete, total transformation from the grim, sad face each morning. So the elderly woman said to the young lady, "See, I told you things will get better." And this is what the young lady said in return to the elderly woman. She said, "Actually, nothing has changed. Everything in my life still remains in a bad place. But the reason why I can smile this morning, the reason why my countenance has changed, is because now I believe that things can really change." And friends, that is exactly the type of faith that Hannah exercised in waiting for her son. After she had poured out her heart in despair to God in prayer, after dealing with her loss of appetite, after dealing with the tears that would stream down her face day after day. And after dealing with the unkind words from Peniah, after she released all of her burdens to the Lord in prayer, despite not seeing any change immediately, her expectation completely changed in a positive way. No more crying for Hannah. No more wallowing in self-pity. No more singing, "Woe is me, my life is a mess." But she came to a point, church, where she had prayed and left the petition with God. And now she could wait to see how God would respond to her prayer with a greater sense of expectation. Because God is able. So friends, even in the period of waiting for the answer to our prayers, may our expectation be furnished with possibility and hope. May our hearts rejoice even before the answered prayer, because we recognize that God is able to answer our prayers. And if God is able to do it, then why should we worry? Why should we stress and put ourselves under so much pressure? As the old hymn writer put it this way, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In church, we can't take our burdens to Jesus, then after we take it to Jesus, pick them up again and carry them around on our shoulders to bear. But we have to get to the point where we leave our struggles and our fears in the safety of God's arms, because our pains are safe with God. Our struggles, our concerns, they are safe with God. And even in the midst of unanswered prayer, we can live our lives with a great sense of expectation, knowing that all things work together for good to those that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hannah prayed and she rose with expectation in her heart that sometime soon, whenever it may be, she believed in her heart that God was able to answer her prayer. And friends, even if God does not answer our prayer request the way that we want or the way that we desire, it does not mean that God is not able. Even if the answer is no, God is still able. So in closing this morning, whether it's the royal family, whether it's Hannah's family, or whether it's families around the world, we all go through difficult moments where forgiveness and healing are required of us in order to move forward as a family unit. And let us learn from Hannah and turn to prayer instead of gossip and playing tick for tack, which only makes the problem worse. And it's amazing. What I love about Hannah is, despite the fact that Peniah is recorded to always year after year be saying unkind words to Hannah, but you never read where Hannah said anything in retaliation back to Peniah. You see, we don't have to get even on ourselves. We don't have to fight the battle ourselves, because God will fight our battles. And through prayer and talking through the issues with our families, our loved ones, in our relationships, and ultimately with God, He will help us to work through the problems, and so that those relationships, those fractured relationships and struggles amongst the family unit and friendships, that God will help us to resolve them with his wisdom and knowledge and grace. And like Hannah, even when it looks impossible, even when the situation looks bleak, even when it seems like the barren state in our life feels like a perpetual, continual state of emptiness, always remember this, friends. With man, it may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Let us pray. Father, would you help us this morning that, like Hannah, when it seems like we're going through the impossible, when it seems like those barren areas in our lives seem dormant, lifeless, and seem like there is no way that things can improve, Father, like Hannah, would you give us the faith to trust you, the courage to put our struggles in your hand, to put our fears in your capable hands, because you are able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Help us to trust you with our fears. Help us to trust you with those challenges and issues in our lives. And help us not to carry them around every day as burdens and going around with a sad countenance with tears in our eyes, but help us to place all of our fears and worries at your feet, because you are well able to handle every problem that we face. And Lord, we've talked about the royal family today and what's been said throughout this week and all around the nation and even around the world. So much has been said. Father, we just lift the royal family to you right now. We pray for Her Majesty the Queen. We pray for Prince Philip, who is still recovering in hospital. We pray for Harry and Meghan, for Archie and for the entire family, that, Lord, that you might grant them wisdom and grace, knowledge and understanding, that they can come together and work through their issues away from the cameras, that they can come to a solution and move forward together. Father, we just commit them to you. And Lord, we thank you for all of the mothers today, all of the women across our nation, across the world. We pray that this day will be filled with joy and that we may leave this place, this virtual service, rejoicing in your goodness, knowing that you are the God that can make even things which look impossible, you can make them possible. So we give you glory now. We give you praise and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.